Richard Roper is here on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Arkadek. He's telling you what you can go see this weekend in the movie theater. And let's just say this, that we're going to end on a movie that you think everybody should go see, right? So I don't want to necessarily get ahead of myself there, but stay close with this, because there's especially if you are interested in more movies or justice, right?
Absolutely.
I think those are the two things we should
It's the first great film of the decade, Ro. The film we're going to talk about.
Wow.
Up. Yeah.
So we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it in a few.
All right. The Gentlemen. That is not the first great film of the decade, but it is. Is it good? Matthew McConaughey and Hugh Grant, Colin Farrell, Henry Golding. It's sort of like a crime thriller action deal.
Yeah, I mean, listen to those names right there, right? Quite a roster. This is a hard R, violent, darkly funny crime movie from Guy Ritchie. Now, people might remember that name. Guy Ritchie, 20 years ago, he was like on the forefront, a new wave of these action movies with really cool style and kind of dark humor. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Snatch was another big movie.
Brad Pitt, great performance by Brad Pitt.
Exactly. And then he hit a little speed bump by the name of Madonna, because Guy Ritchie married Madonna, and they did a movie called Swept Away, which was one of the worst films ever made. Ever since then, he's had kind of an up-and-down career. He did the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
And if you've seen those movies, you know what I'm talking about. There's sort of a modernist style, even when it's a period piece. Really cool sweeping camera movements and kind of some Tarantino-esque. A lot of that kind of stuff with cool music and everything. So this, The Gentleman, is returned to form for Guy Ritchie. Since then, I mean, his last movie was Aladdin. He's done everything you could do in the business. But I think he wanted to go back one more time and do the kind of British crime film for which he first became famous. So here's the setup here. Matthew McConaughey plays a guy from Texas who is very smart, came from no money, grew up in poverty, but has built an empire as the leading marijuana manufacturer and distributor in Great Britain. Some would say Matthew McConaughey has been preparing for this role for 30 years. So the setup here is that he's got an empire, but he's getting to the point where he thinks, maybe I want to get out of this business. It's getting, you know, more dangerous and everything. And there's a clip here where he's talking to a guy, Jeremy Strong, who plays the son on Succession. If people have watched that on HBO, the second son who's going to be the succeeder to the empire, who's interested in buying the entire marijuana business from Matthew McConaughey, but doesn't quite trust him about why he wants to sell it.
Weed. Bush. Skunkamola. White Widow Super Cheese. It's the new gold rush. This is the thin end of a very fat wedge, sir.
If it's such a fat wedge, why don't you keep it?
See, I've developed a reputation as a man who came up the hard way. You could say that there's blood on these pretty white hands. But in the new business, once legal and under the jurisdiction of the respectable umbrella of ministerial legitimacy, an enterprise like this will need a face with a clean past, which sadly, I do not possess. Retirement doesn't sound so bad.
So there's your setup. One of the things I love about this film, I'm going to say, first of all, 3.5 stars for The Gentleman. And, Ro, one of the things I love about this film is that there's all these leading men in this movie who are playing gritty character actors. So Charlie Hunnam, who was in Sons of Anarchy, has this big beard and thick glasses. Colin Farrell, same thing. Hugh Grant plays a guy with a Cockney accent. He's a low-level private eye. You could barely recognize him under his... In fact, he dresses exactly like Al Pacino and Donnie Brasco. Leather jacket, tinted glasses. So you can see all these guys who are normally leading men having a lot of fun playing gritty characters. And what happens in this movie, there's a kind of a movie within a movie. Different things start tumbling because of the fight for the giant marijuana empire. And one of the things Guy Ritchie does very well is creatively kill off people. You never know when that ledge might have a long, long, long drop to some train tracks, or when someone will get actually shot in the middle of his head, you know, that kind of stuff. So you got to know going in, this is an R-rated movie that deserves its R-rated movie. Darkly humorous, great music, fantastic performances. Even Henry Golding, who was the gorgeous leading man in Crazy Rich Asians, and Michelle Dockery, who was Lady Mary in Downton Abbey, are playing against type in this.
Wow.
Michelle Dockery basically plays like a gangster model from a 30s movie, and she's great. And she, too, drops the normal accent, the highfalutin Downton accent,
so
for more of a Cockney.
Only took Guy Ritchie 15 years to get over Madonna, is what you're telling me.
Probably. I think so. I think he had to make some money. And a lot of his movies, his mainstream movies, has made money. I think he said, you know what? I'd like to go back one more time. And I will say one last thing about this movie. Some people are saying, well, I hear it's racist. It's like, no. There's a racist character in the movie who says racist things. He's also a low-life scum. And I think people need to be careful by prejudging, especially if you haven't seen a movie, by saying, oh, I heard it's racist because there's a racist character. There's a huge difference between the two.
All right. Thank you, Richard Roper. Film critic extraordinaire. On the other side of the break, we're going to tell you about what Richard says is the first great movie of the 2020s. But first, Lauren Lapka tells us about the traffic and the weather.
Vaping left a varsity athlete fighting to stay alive. See how vaping can destroy your lungs. A suburban teen's cautionary tale. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Kevin, I thought that was an excellent read.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're up for a promy.
That's very exciting.
Yes, best read of the afternoon.
And we can't get a host for that award show either.
it's way too controversial. Richard Roper is in the studio with us. Did you see, before we get back to the movies you should go see this weekend, or maybe you shouldn't, you said The Gentlemen. You should definitely go see that. 3.5 stars, right?
Yes.
That's the new Matthew McConaughey and Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant, Henry Golding movie.
Yes.
But did you see the story about the woman? She went on Good Morning America today. The woman who's the president of the NARIS, the National Recording Arts, the Grammy people.
Yes.
Saying the Grammys are rigged. That turns out Kanye was right, Richard Roper.
Oh, no.
Taylor Swift should not have won.
Oh, boy.
That Grammy.
So are we going to go back in time? There's a famous photo of Christopher Cross with his five Grammys that he won that one year. Yeah, Maria, just that. Nothing against them. You know, I remember did the moon in New York City, the Earth theme, and the Ride Like the Wind, and then sailing, you know. It keeps him away to where he wants to be.
Think of Laura.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Wow. Here's That's a deep dive.
Yeah. All right. Let us now talk about the movie Color Out of Space.
Color Out of Space, Nicolas Cage has another movie out. It's been 7 minutes since Nicolas Cage last appeared in a film. This one actually is getting some theatrical release, but you'll find it as well. This is based on a century-old horror story. Here's the setup for this one. Nicolas Cage, the gentleman farmer, moves with his lovely wife, played by Jolie Richardson, wonderful actress, comes from royalty of acting, and their children. He moves from the city to this beautiful home in the country in Massachusetts, and a pink-purple meteorite lands in their front yard. Big pink-purple meteorite that seems to have some freaky qualities on them. Next thing you know, we've got a scene here. This is Nicolas Cage in the kitchen. Now, what's happening here, because some of this sounds is just physical, is things are getting out of control, and the the formerly great dad is now complaining about not only problems he's having with the kids and the wife, but the fact that the tomatoes taste horrible. So that's what the setup for this.
I've got to do something about that dish. I am literally hemorrhaging clients.
Should be working, sweetie. I just checked it this morning.
No, I'm garbling the f*** out of everything I say. Nate, are you listening to me?
You know, I did everything I was supposed to do. I followed every f***ing rule in the book. In the end, they still f***ing taste like f***. You know what? Coming up!
Stop it! Just do something about that dish.
What is happening here?
He's slam dunking the tomatoes all over the kitchen because they're not tasting right. He keeps taking a big bite out of the tomatoes and throwing them. She's mad because she can't control things. Before the thing's over, all kinds of weird monster creatures, and there's blood and grotesquerie and fantastic death scenes. And it's 3 stars if you're in the mood for a very grotesque, very scary Nicolas Cage film. As you could see right there, when he starts going, I've done everything I can do for this family. Oh, boy. There he goes. All while wearing a vest and a flannel shirt. You know, because it's the only movie I've ever seen where there's a scene where Nicolas Cage explains to an outsider, he's milking the alpacas that they have on the farm.
Of course he is.
And he explains exactly how you have to manipulate the alpacas and then offers him the pan of the fresh alpaca milk with the hairs in it. Says, want to try some? The guy says no. Spoiler alert.
You know, you make an excellent point, Richard Roper, about Nicolas Cage. If you go through movies, free movies, you know, on demand, whether it's on any of the services, there are 60 Nicolas Cage movies, all from 2019.
It's amazing.
Now, this is because he's still paying off the IRS,
I think,
right?
There's some money issues there. And he loves to work. And the quality's up and down, but he never phones it in.
No, that's true.
Unless he likes to phone into us and talk about these movies. But even then, he's not phoning it in.
It's true. We do talk to him. He does like to promote through this show. I don't know what this is all, you know, for years now. I don't know what this has been about. But he always calls us from a cell phone that barely works. I'm going into a tunnel. I might lose you.
Yeah, we lost him one time. And then he went nuts about that. Yeah, he'll say things like, I'm calling from the Hoover Dam, so you might miss me at some point. I'm like, you know what? You could go to an office, Nick.
I like him, though. I like him as an actor. I like him as a human. All right, Anne, now you're saying that The Last Full Measure is the first great movie of the 2020s.
I really hope people check out this film called The Last Full Measure, Ro. It is based on a true story about this heroic Air Force, what do they call them? Parachute rescue jumpers.
Pararescue,
thank you. And this is a real-life guy who, in one of the first and bloodiest battles of Vietnam, like 1966, we're talking. So his helicopter lands. He's there to provide support, and he was a medic as well, to Army soldiers, Army men who had been basically ambushed and were, you know, under fire. And he kept waving off the helicopter that was there to get him, picking up the guns of fallen soldiers and fighting off the enemy, doing everything that saved dozens of lives before he himself was killed in action. Now we cut forward in this movie to the year 1998. So it's 32 years after his heroics. And some of his former mates, including his partner in the helicopter and some of the Army soldiers who survived that day, are trying to get him the Medal of Honor. So here's a scene right now. William Hurt plays his former partner. And Sebastian Stan, who people might recognize from a lot of things, but he's the Winter Soldier in the Avengers movies. Okay. He's the young Pentagon staffer who's assigned to review this case.
Pitt saved lives.
And he was awarded the Air Force Cross. What's wrong with that?
It was downgraded to the cross. We put him up for the Medal of Honor. That's different.
Sergeant, I'm going to tell you something you probably already know. Decoration upgrades are rare. The criteria for review is new information.
I figured the new information part was your job.
This was 30 years ago. I mean, is there an agenda you have I should know about?
Justice delayed is justice denied. That's my damn agenda.
Great, great acting by William Hurt there. Also in this movie, Ed Harris, Samuel L. Jackson, and the late Peter Fonda, all playing veterans whose lives were touched by this real-life guy that they called Pitts. And I got to tell you, Ro, even for Samuel L. Jackson, who usually dials it all the way up to 10, he's playing a veteran with PTSD here, and you think, oh, gosh, there's going to be a scene where he breaks everything and goes, it's not that at all. It's this quietly powerful performance. Same thing, and there's a certain irony, of course. Peter Fonda's last live-action movie, he's a voiceover for an animated character coming up in a few months, but his last live-action role in his last scene, he's wearing his uniform from Vietnam, which there's a certain irony, of course, because Peter Fonda was at the forefront of protesting the war, but always respected veterans and the soldiers. He was never about that. And this is a very honorable portrayal by Peter Fonda and all of these great actors.
John Savage is in this movie.
John Savage, who people might remember, of course, from The Deer Hunter.
Right.
And in some ways, this movie reminded me of that, role, because, yes, there are war scenes, but it's more about the aftermath of war. It's more in the vein of coming home.
Right.
And The Deer Hunter. John Savage's character is a fascinating guy. He never left Southeast Asia. He's still there. And he actually kind of is conducting tours for veterans who want to go back to Vietnam.
Which is a real thing.
A real thing. And he offers them, not forgiveness, but for a chance for them to feel like maybe they didn't do the wrong thing that they feel bad about because they were following orders and they were in a war that was unjust, but it wasn't their call. And it's almost like a healing role. And he's great. And to imagine seeing this John Savage 40 years after The Deer Hunter in a film about the Vietnam War.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. Michael Imperioli is also in it from The Sopranos.
Yes, and Amy Madigan, Christopher Plummer plays the father of Pitts, the soldier who was killed. And the guy was 19 years old when he joined the Air Force. So his room from when he was a teenager is still in the home. And there's a powerful scene there.
So this movie did actually hit theaters in 2019. Why do you think
it played for a week to get Oscar eligibility, but it's brand new to audiences everywhere else, including Chicago. You know, it's hard to say why a movie, even this one, the truth is it's probably not going to do huge box office. I think it's better than 90% of the movies that came out last year. And it's as good as most of the Oscar nominees. You know, and you could make a case, if the right people had seen this film, there's 7 performances in this movie that could be up for Best Supporting Actor. William Hurt, Ed Harris, Samuel L. Jackson, down the line, every one of them gives an award-worthy performance. The great thing is you got a chance to see it now. It is in theaters now.
And it's called The Last Full Measure.
Yes.
And how many stars?
Four stars for The Last Full Measure. People, please don't feel like this is a history lesson or always just somber. Like a lot of great war films, it's about the individuals, not the bureaucracy. And there's always a lot of moments where you're like, you feel damn lucky that men and women fought for us through the wars and through the years and fight for the memories of fallen heroes who might otherwise have been forgotten.
We're in that remembrance moment. You know, we're basically losing the greatest generation daily. Yeah. And it won't be too long before they're all gone.
Yes,
essentially,
absolutely.
Or most. And it now, those where we were 20 years ago, that's the Vietnam generation that is entering in here. That are people, I mean, because the Vietnam War essentially started 60 years ago.
Yeah, you're right, and ended in 74. So the youngest Vietnam veterans are now 70-ish.
Right.
And, you know, as you mentioned, because for as long when we were growing up, it was World War II veterans. I mean, there's still quite a few, but now the Vietnam veterans are more men in their 70s and 80s.
Exactly. And so all of the issues, and they've been in letters, a lot of films that have essayed all of the different iterations of their experience from the war movies from the 1960s to all the way through. And then coming home, the movies about having to deal with what it was like to be a Vietnam veteran in the 1970s and then how it changed by the time we get to the 1990s. So this film sort of tells that entire arc, right?
There's a great line from one of the characters where he says, for 35 years, something you did over the course of 20 seconds defines who you are.
The Last Full Measure, 4 stars. Best... So far, this is the best movie of the decade.
Absolutely.
So far. All right. Go see it. Right now, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News.